And this is where people get hung up on, is that they're given the thyroid hormone, the doctor checks their levels, and the levels of the hormone looks adequate, but they're not processing it properly, and so they still have the symptoms of low thyroid. That's where I come in, is because we're looking at the whole body. Unfortunately, our healthcare system, like you said, it's all disassembled into parts, and our body is not disassembled. It works as one big organism or like a big orchestra. And so you have to have someone who can put all these pieces together to try to figure out why is someone having thyroid symptoms, even though their TSH, which is the main number that your medical person looks at, even though that number may be fine.
Are you curious about discovering ways of making your life better? Then welcome to my podcast. I'm Bob Nickman, and this is The Exploding Human. Listen in while I talk with all kinds of people in the fields of personal growth, health and healing, alternative therapies, psychology, spirituality, environment, and the future. I'm looking for those answers that make life better for everyone. You'll meet cutting-edge practitioners, doctors, artists, filmmakers, business people, and those who have overcome challenges. The brave, the curious, anyone who's out there helping us humans to explore, expand, and explode. Hey, welcome to The Exploding Human. My name is Bob Nickman. My guest today is Jade Guerra, and we're going to be talking about how thyroid function isn't isolated to just the thyroid gland, but it involves the liver, the gut, the brain, and other systems, and how that can influence what patients with thyroid conditions experience, even when the standard lab work appears to be normal. Jade is a functional practical nurse and has built one of the country's largest virtual functional medicine practices. She has worked with thousands of patients frustrated by persistent symptoms and inconclusive answers. She has a very large Facebook group where she helps people with information and masterclasses, and that is called Unbroken. She also has another very large Facebook group which deals with diabetes. That is called The End of Type 2 Diabetes Now. So let's jump in. This is Jade Guerra. Okay, I'm with Jade Guerra, and I'm so happy that you're here. Welcome to the Exploding Human podcast.
How did you even come up with that?
I just wanted something that sounded like, the idea was like the tagline under is explore, expand, and explode. So it's so people can discover things about themselves and then go to the next level and the next level till they're an explosive human being.
Love it.
And when I first did it as I also have a YouTube channel where I play the audio on YouTube, and they actually dinged it when I first put it up there because they took it literally. Like it somehow had to do with violence, and it's the complete opposite. So I had to figure out a way to reach YouTube, which is not an easy thing to do.
But you actually spoke to a human?
No. I had to find somebody on Reddit who had an association with YouTube to do this kind of thing. So it's this semi-underground kind of, I mean, it's a legitimate thing, but I guess there's people on Reddit that have ways of contacting YouTube and vetting people. So I haven't had a problem since. So I was happy that happened.
Secret handshake kind of thing, huh?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on in the world that I have to, research a little bit or find out from a 12-year-old that knows more than me. I mean, I don't know how old the Reddit guy was, but he was, somebody that knew how to do it. So he helped me. I was very appreciative. I couldn't tell you the person's name or how to get a hold of them or anything. It just sort of, I did it and it went away. So, but it's a good question. So if anybody's out there starting a podcast, you might want to pick a name that can't be misinterpreted by an algorithm. If there is such a thing as that, which I think there probably is. So, all right, well, let's talk. I know you're a nurse and you've got a master's degree. You've got all kinds of things, a Facebook group that helps people to overcome and reverse diabetes, as well as thyroid issues. So I'm curious. I did actually recently do an episode on reversing diabetes, which I was very happy to do because, as we were talking about before we started, it's incredibly high percentage of the population and climbing, as you mentioned. And you were saying even that you're seeing children now. And that's alarming, to say the least.
It's sad. It is alarming and it's sad. And I think it's just going to continue to, you know, I've been doing this for over 25 years. It's just now that I'm seeing kids. And it's just a sign of our society just getting sicker and sicker as our food gets worse and worse. And so we got to educate people that it doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to be this way.
You know, I have to say, yeah, it doesn't. When I walk, this is the example I always use, is there's an entire aisle in the grocery store of cereal, which basically the box is probably more nutritious than what's in it.
What's on the floor is probably more nutritious.
Yeah, well, there's less sugar.
Lick the floor.
I don't think they put like seed oils and sugar in the box. It's just, you know, maybe some formaldehyde or something in with the paper. But I walk down there and there's these bright colors and cartoons and all this stuff. And it's just choice after choice of just basically ways to reformulate sugar and put in different shapes and colors with maybe some chemical additives to make it taste a little bit different than the cereal next to it. And that is an astonishing thing when you think about food, because it's not actually food. It's, you know, people call it junk. There's junk food, but I don't really think there is such a thing as junk food. There's junk and there's food. And so if you want to not have some of these things that are caused by lifestyle, stay away from that stuff. Not easy, especially little kids. They're very seduced by, you know, cartoons and advertising and what their friends are doing. So it's really a parental job to make sure that that doesn't happen. If it's a food based, you know,
it's fake food. It's not even
right.
It doesn't. Fake. I like that, fake food. Let's just make that our new term.
Right. It is. It's non-food, whatever it is. So, you know, that must be, yeah, that is heartbreaking when you see, you know, kids that are just sick and they don't have to be. It's completely avoidable. So that's, you know, one thing. And then now, but let's get into, because I have done an episode on diabetes, thyroid I have not discussed. I've done a lot of specific body parts on this show. Thyroid I have not. So let's talk about the thyroid and what it basically does and how it reacts with other things in the body and what is kind of an optimal way to take care of the thyroid in all arenas.
So the thyroid gland, it's really just a warehouse of hormone. And the hormone that it produces, well, the thyroid gland, it's not, the gland doesn't work on its own. Your brain is involved in thyroid metabolism. Your liver and your gut are all involved in thyroid metabolism. So the thyroid gland just produces the hormone. The brain starts the whole process. So you have to have a working brain. But then that hormone that is released by the thyroid gland, it's actually processed in the liver and the gut. So all of these organs have to be working in order for someone to have proper thyroid metabolism. And I don't think that's shared with people. You know, people have a thyroid problem. They're just given thyroid hormone and they're sent on their way. And that replaces the hormone that someone's making, that someone is no longer able to make sufficient amount of. Thyroid hormone is unique in that every cell of our body requires it. That's why someone's symptoms can be all over the place. But it doesn't really give us an idea if you're processing the hormone correctly. And this is where people get hung up on, is that they're given the thyroid hormone, the doctor checks their levels, and the levels of the hormone looks adequate, but they're not processing it properly. And so they still have the symptoms of low thyroid. That's where I come in, is because we're looking at the whole body. Unfortunately, our healthcare system, like you said, it's all disassembled into parts, and our body is not disassembled. It works as one big organism, or like a big orchestra. And so you have to have someone who can put all these pieces together to try to figure out why is someone having thyroid symptoms, even though their TSH, which is the main number that your medical person looks at, even though that number may be fine.
Are there other labs to look at then besides TSH? Okay.
There are 12 markers that make up a complete thyroid panel.
Right. And how many are tested for it in a annual physical?
TSH, just one.
One, right. Yeah, that's the... You're fine.
Yep, go home.
How come I don't feel fine? It's probably... Well, here's another one. It's probably some kind of psychological problem that you have.
You know, I've heard so many stories, and I mainly deal with women because this does happen to women mostly, but stories all the way from this is just age, or, you know, I've heard someone tell me that their doctor told them, you're 80. Why should we do something about this now? Basically telling them that just be due to their age, they're not worth like looking into more or trying to help. And that's sad that happens, that people are brushed off and literally told that because of your age, you're not really worth being in our population anymore or having a healthy quality of life just because of their age. And, you know, as I get older, that just makes me more upset. And yes, I've heard people told that they were crazy, that this is in their head, that they're just making it up, that they are a liar or what we call a malingerer. You know, that's the official medical term for someone lying. And it's not true. There's always a reason why your body is telling you. A symptom is a way of your body telling you there's something wrong.
Well, it's an interesting thing when someone tells you they don't feel well to not believe them, rather than say, well, I can't figure it out. What else could it be? It's a simple question, but I guess a lot of people don't ask it because it's a little bit more complicated, requires a little bit more work, a little bit more exploration, a little bit more discovery. And sometimes the ego would get in the way, I would imagine. It's like, well, I don't know, so I'm going to put it back on you. I'm going to victim blame or whatever you want to call it that. And it's a very fascinating psychological problem on the part of the doctor side of the equation with that stuff. And I haven't experienced that myself. At least I don't think I have. I'm pretty sure I haven't, because I would be upset. But I do know people that has happened to. I had my daughter when she was in medical school. She had a friend who had some sort of a problem. I think it was a female issue, something. And the doctor said, well, let me run. She goes, I think you should run this test. You know, she knew enough. She'd taken quite a bit of classes. I think it's this. I don't remember any of the details about what the condition was. So he runs the tests and you're fine. And she said, I'm not fine. I'm a medical student. I know what my body is doing. You're reading the results incorrectly. You don't know what you're doing. And of course, the guy, you know, he wasn't happy about hearing that from a kid, you know. Well, she goes, I want somebody else to read it who's a little bit more versed in this. And sure enough, she was right. And the doctor was not right. And so, you know, when it's an actual medical student having to do this, it's an alarming thing, but it's a good thing to know that unless you are willing to advocate for yourself, you may not get the actual real results of something. And it's an important thing to do. You know, you know, I'm not saying the doctor was, I am going to actually say he was incompetent because he didn't really know how to do the thing that he was supposed to, but he didn't say that. Mm-hmm. Now, there's plenty of knowledge that any doctor might not have in a certain arena, but say that. Say, you know what, I'm actually not qualified to do this. I know a lot, but I don't know everything. Let's pass it off to somebody who knows more than me. So that's the part where the irresponsibility was very annoying. It's more than annoying. I'm being kind. So there are those things, and you know, not everything can be learned in 4 years of medical school and residency, which is another 4 or 5 or whatever you're doing. that stuff takes a lot of time and there's a lot of information. So I think people, and I'm one of those people, or I used to be one of those people, where I just assumed this is a doctor. So I bestow this sort of magical amount of knowledge and competency on these people and trust when I get an answer. And you may not, and, you know, obviously you're doing what doctors are, have been unable to do or unwilling to do or haven't been trained to do in conventional medical school. And so you're taking it beyond that.
It's definitely going outside the box because, like you said, Western medicine, it has a lot of advantages, but it doesn't have all the answers. So you have to be able to find someone who's willing to look outside the box, who's not afraid. Because believe me, when I first started doing this, and we call this functional medicine, by the way, functional medicine or functional endocrinology, even my colleagues made fun of me because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't mainstream. It wasn't familiar. And when things are not mainstream and familiar, well, people will attack it or they'll be afraid of it. And so they'll make fun of it. But now people, they realize that they do have to be their own advocate. You know, there's no way your health problem can be solved in the 15 minutes that you have with your medical provider. I tell people this, if that's the system that you're in and that system isn't working for you, well, then you got to go to a different system.
Either they don't know about it or they go, oh no, it's not, insurance isn't going to pay for it, because some of it, it's not, you know, you're not going to get a complete, you know, metabolic panel of all the, you know, dozens of tests that they're available on a yearly physical. You're just not going to get it.
No, they're not going to order it.
You can order it, yeah, and it's
it, well, actually, I was gonna say your medical person won't order it, even if you ask.
They're not allowed to. They won't get
right.
Yeah, my doctor said
that.
He goes, I can't. They won't
do
it.
Yeah, they'll get slapped with the insurance company.
Right. That's his answer was, I would love to do that for you, but this is how he put it: they won't pay for it. So now the doctor, there's a they above the doctor. It's not the doctor. You're not actually going to the doctor. The doctor works for a they. And so, I mean, luckily, there are now companies that do 100 plus tests for a couple $100. You know, it's very available for those people that want to do it. Yes, you have to pay it out of your own pocket. When you think about being ill and figuring out a way to feel better, a couple $100 is not a lot of money.
I tell people this all the time. No one gets out of this without paying something.
Yeah.
You're going to pay it being healthy and doing healthy things that bring you closer and closer to health, or you're going to pay for it in illness and disease and all the complications and the problems that come with that. But you got to decide, how do you want to spend your money?
Yes, exactly. It's, you either pay a little bit less up front or you pay big time on the back end and feel bad. So, you know, but you know, if you don't have the money, it's tough. It's a tough decision to make for people. And I understand that. So tell me some of the symptoms. So there's an underactive thyroid and an overactive thyroid. Tell me some of the symptoms. I know I always think about the one where somebody's got big bugged out eyes because their thyroid's overactive or something like that.
That's overactive thyroid. That's Graves' disease. That's not as common as underactive thyroid or what we call Hashimoto's. Yeah. But these are both autoimmune diseases where the immune system is attacking the body. And obviously, the immune system is not supposed to attack the body. And so this is also being missed. I find autoimmune disease in people all the time. And the reason why it's not even being checked on blood work is because there is no pill. There's no pill to prescribe. But with underactive thyroid or Hashimoto's, everything slows down. So this person is dealing with low energy, can't lose weight. No, think of everything slows down. So constipated, depressed, joint pain, insomnia. And, you know, this can ruin their life. This can take over their life. And now it's affecting their brain as well. Their brain is slowed down. So they're having cognitive issues. And these are the symptoms that, like a lot of people are told, this is just part of aging. I hate that. Or if it's a woman, it's a part of menopause, which is not. And so they're just told to accept it. And that's where people get stuck and they don't know where to turn. and they feel like they're going crazy because they're being told that this is just how it is and this is normal. It's not normal. Your body is an amazing machine, and when you have a symptom, it is your body's way of trying to get your attention. There's something wrong.
Yeah, and that is the certainly the functional medicine approach to health, which when you hear it for the first time, you go, "Oh, that makes a lot more sense than what I've been hearing." It makes complete sense. You know, there's that sort of idea that when you get sick, you're being attacked by something from the outside.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of people with toxins, and toxins get in your way in your body if either you breathe it in, you eat it, or drink it. So water. So in your part of the country, water arsenic is very high. You know, I see people's toxin tests and their arsenic levels are high. There's only a couple ways you can get arsenic in your body. Either someone's trying to poison you intentionally, or it's in your water supply. And in the West Coast, there's high levels of arsenic.
And why is that?
It's just part of the so it's just part of the Earth's makeup. And so, you know, I think people think that when water is treated in our water treatment plants, they take all these metals out. They don't. So you have to take the extra step of having something like a reverse osmosis in your home to clear out all these metals. But yeah, I mean, arsenic can cause diabetes. It's definitely going to affect cognitive issues. It's going to cause neurological problems. So there's got to be a reason, and that's why digging deeper and finding the root cause is so very important if you're ever going to help someone turn their health around.
And I guess there's people whose genetic makeup is such that they don't get rid of these toxins as easily as some other people. So maybe you're drinking the same water as somebody else. They don't have those symptoms, but you do because you have a predisposition for a sensitivity to that. So there's a lot of things to take a look at that hopefully you can find a solution. And I'm sure you've seen some incredible turnarounds with people.
Yeah, and people even in their 80s who were able to get off medications. I was recently talking to one of our coaches, and she was saying that a person she's helping was able to get off all her meds. Her doctor was just like dumbfounded that she had turned things around so quickly. And here he is taking her off all her meds, and he never thought that would happen. She knew it could happen, but he didn't think that would happen. And it's just another testament that, you know, all these problems that people are having, they're just roadblocks, and something's in the way that's not allowing your body to function properly. So it's taking the time and working with someone who can, first of all, identify the roadblocks through testing, like you're mentioned, and then work and know how to address all the roadblocks to get them out of the way. And then the body can function. It can perform much better. But it's taking that extra time and digging deeper. You know, the blood tests that I see people send me, it's a page. It's just not enough information. It's looking at blood sugar, A1C, cholesterol, and that's really about it. It's just not digging deep enough. But like you said, because our healthcare system is set up where there's a third-party payer paying for the lab, they don't want to run all these, what they think is elaborate or not medically necessary, that's their term, labs.
You would think that if you did a more extensive workup on people, that there would be less problems down the road and actually save those companies money. Maybe I'm wrong about that, or maybe they don't care, or maybe it's there's money, more money, and keeping people sick. I've heard that sort of pharmaceutical company approach that a lot of people say it's don't cure them and don't kill them, just keep them coming back. So that's kind of a cynical way to look at it, but maybe it is that. Again, it comes back to advocating for yourself.
Absolutely. You have to speak up, and you may not be getting the answer to the person who you're talking to, but you can't give up. Gotta keep seeking, keep finding. If you're willing to keep seeking, keep finding, the answer will come in your path, but you just gotta keep going. You just can't accept that this is normal or this is how it is. When someone says that, you're exactly right. They have run out of knowledge. They may not admit that, but they have run out of knowledge.
You know, there's a lot of things I don't know. And I have no problem saying, I don't know. What is the big deal? That's the worst thing that can happen. The truth? That must be hard too for, I guess, maybe a doctor who's, an expert in their field. I'm using the word expert with quotes around it, but and they hit the wall with not knowing what it is. That's a hard thing to admit that you've gone to all that training and experience and seeing thousands of patients and you can't figure it out. So you just put it in a category of, well, the easy solution is that's just the way it is. You're too old. It's whatever it is. That I guess that is a hard thing to say. Maybe there's something I don't know.
They're pressured to get on to their next appointment, I
That,
mean,
yeah.
I used to be in the insurance space, and the more the as the years went by, insurance reimbursement kept going down and down and down, and the cost to run a practice kept going up and up and up. So that's why they're double and triple booking, because they can't have a missed appointment, and they got to get on to the next person so they can bill the insurance company for that visit. And it's a just really messed up way to treat humans, and to think that it's going to help get their body to work optimally and allow them to have the optimal health. It's just not, the whole thing is set up incorrectly, in my opinion.
The last annual physical I had, and I love this doctor. He's just a great guy. But he got interrupted by the one of the people at the desk. I don't know what they would call them. I guess they're just the people at the desk, running the office. Three times while he was with me. Your 15 minutes is up. You need to finish. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He just was like, no, I'm still with this guy. He was polite. They knew it was stupid. Everybody knew it was stupid, but they were required to do that for their job. And he said to me, I love being a doctor. I've been doing it a long time. He goes, but this is the stuff. Then he pointed to the computer and this stuff, and the fact that MBAs are running the HMO or whatever it was, that's going to get me to get out of this. And I just got a letter from him, and he's retiring. He's not even 60. He's still in his 50s. I know that's the reason because he kind of told me ahead of time. Not, he didn't say that's why I'm doing it, but he said that's what's going to make me do it. And then he did it. So I don't know what he's going to do now, if he's going to actually retire from medicine or he's going to go into one of those practices that's, self-pay. Those are soon to be,
Concierge.
yeah, those seem to be happening. And with the, for some reason, the expense, I didn't really want to get into talking about insurance, but it's really a part of this. The piece of the puzzle, as the cost of insurance goes up for people, it's going to meet at some point, other than catastrophic, it's going to meet the same costs that out of pocket would anyway. So if you're paying, I don't know what people pay exactly per month, I guess depends who you are for their insurance plan, especially if they have a family, it's probably cheaper not to even have it other than, for hospital care.
Exactly.
Not to even have it now. So the insurance companies are now eating themselves from, they're coming up from the bottom and they're up into the middle of their business model. And eventually only rich people are going to be able to afford insurance and they have enough money to pay out of pocket too. So what's going to happen? I mean, where are we headed with this stuff
Everyone's going to
backwards?
Mexico
They are.
to get health care.
Yeah. Now, I've had a couple of the sort of medical tourism kind of people on here, mostly with stem cells, but they go down there for plastic surgeries, and it's not some, you're not get it's not being done in a chicken coop in a rancho somewhere. It's these are really nice, legitimate clinics,
Dentistry, I mean, and these are American trained professionals.
So what is the frequency or the percentage of people that are having these thyroid issues? And I'm assuming it's increasing like everything else.
Oh, yeah, because this is autoimmune, and autoimmune disease is on the rise. And this is due to several factors. It's because our food is not quality. There's so many pesticides and things being used in our food, our environment. Like I said, the air that we breathe, it's just multiple things that's leading to autoimmune disease becoming more and more common, whether it be Hashimoto's or psoriasis or MS or whatever. Or you see so many people now that have autoimmune disease, and it's continuing to get worse and worse as our country gets sicker and sicker, and our food supply is getting worse and worse as well. It's all in the stress level and all that. It's just all that combined that is leading to these chronic diseases becoming more and more.
You know, when I hear autoimmune disease, for some reason, my first reaction is, oh, that's not a fixable thing. It's too severe. And it's something that for some reason, vague, magical reason, the body is now turning in on itself, and that it can't be fixed, because it just sounds like, well, it's your immune system is not functioning properly. And I never, well, I mean, now I know this, but I never, back when I first heard about this, I'm like, oh, too bad, that person, really got a bad roll of the dice, and that's the end.
To put it into remission is what I tell people. We can't cure you of autoimmune disease, but we can put it into remission so that your immune system is not attacking you anymore. And it's finding out these root causes, like, do you have toxins? Do you have a gut problem? Do you have fatty liver disease? Do you have chronic infection? It's all these factors that will keep the immune system in attack mode. So those are the things that we can correct in and get under control so that the immune system is not attacking. The immune system attacking is what's causing the problems.
So a lot of what you do, you don't have to be a conventional MD. You can practice these things without having gone to a long and arduous journey through the medical school system. There's a lot that can be done. Well, certainly with functional, you don't you can do so much without having to relearn or unlearn, really.
Right. No, most people in the functional medicine space are not MDs. I started off as a chiropractor at the beginning of my career, so that's the natural end, and then got my nurse practitioner degree. But most people in the functional medicine space are not medical people. They're becoming more and more as these medical people are getting frustrated with the healthcare system, and they're looking for something more. But yeah, it's becoming more and more accessible as people get more and more informed that there's more than just drugs. There's more than just cut it out, burn it out, drug it out, that there is something more where we can actually find the problem and fix the problem, not just cover it up with medication. Medications, of course, have their place, but with most chronic diseases, it's simply covering up the problem. And so you get off the med, the problem comes back.
So talk a little bit about your Facebook groups, because that sounds really powerful. That's something that comes from, I'll just, for lack of a better way of saying it, the bottom up. It's not coming from the top of the medical field. It's coming from the populace and people who are guiding them, such as yourself, to help people heal themselves. So talk about that, because that's a good use of Facebook.
Yes. So we have a couple of groups. One is specifically for thyroid. It's called Unbroken. So we have over 100,000 people in this group. So that just tells you of how many people are looking for alternative care. But it's a group where people communicate with one another. I do teachings on this page, but we also have a master class. This is where we spend a week talking about what things. Like we're talking about right now, but what things can someone do to get these problems under control? And so we have a thyroid Facebook group, and then we have a diabetes Facebook group. That has over 150,000 people, where we again talk about things that someone can do. Because when someone's diagnosed with diabetes, that's really the disease where I think people they're blamed for their disease. It's almost like they're shamed to think that this is something that they caused. So we take that out and really give people the empowerment that they can do something other than just being told all you need to do is lose weight and exercise, because that's the story that everyone's being told. But more than that, and understanding why you have high blood sugar in the first place is not as simple as your pancreas isn't working, which is what most people are led to believe. So it's much more involved. And in that group, we also have a master class. That Facebook group name is the end of type 2 diabetes now. So if anyone is, and I'm sure you have the links to these pages where people can join, they can learn free information also. And so we talk about things that anyone can do and that we all should be doing really if we want to have optimal health. And so we have these groups and we have these master classes often to give people the information that just is not out there. It's just not something you're going to hear from your medical professional because, again, they only have 15 minutes. They don't have time. And they may have not have the knowledge.
Yeah, or you get referred to somebody who's more specialized in that field, and maybe some of them do know more. It's hard to know until you go to that person. But just the idea that how much you can do yourself. I used to think when something is wrong, I should go to a doctor, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But now my attitude is, what can I do so I don't have to go to a doctor? I don't really want to do that. I don't want to have to do it for sure. And if I do, then I'll do it. Over the last number of years, I barely go. I don't really go. I mean, I do an annual physical, and it just feels incomplete anyway. And that's, I just don't go to doctors, because I feel good, and I learned about this stuff, and I'm 72, and I'm on zero medications.
That's
Which,
great.
yeah, I'm not that I'm any, special thing. I just pay attention, and a lot of it has to do with what I don't do. I mean, I do drink healthy water and things like that, like you were talking about, but I don't go down the cereal aisle. It doesn't even exist to me. I don't eat it. It makes me, I haven't done that since I was a kid. But there's so many things that are so readily available to do to yourself. And some of, particularly in the food realm, a lot of that stuff's pretty delicious once you get addicted to it. And so it does take a little bit of mindfulness to avoid these things that you're gonna pay the price for.
Yeah, it's really just a mindset shift. When I tell people, think about it this way. Is what you're putting into your body getting closer and closer to health, or is it getting you closer and closer to disease?
Yeah.
And it's really a choice. Do you want the threat of Alzheimer's, dementia? Well, then go down the cereal aisle. Do you want health and your brain working and you can, you're not wearing an adult diaper? Well, then go down the vegetable aisle. It really needs to be that simple where you're making a choice.
Can you imagine if they had little signs up on the aisles that said
Come
Alzheimer's?
down this aisle. Well, Alzheimer's is type 3 diabetes. I don't think a lot of people know that.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because I've heard it described as that, and so explain that a little bit, because it's a fascinating thing, because there's a rise in it, and a rise in the awareness of it for sure. But how is it a type of diabetes? I know it's called type
Sure.
3. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about type 2 first. So type 2 is where your cells are resistant to the action of insulin. So insulin is a hormone that sits on the outside of your cells and it allows sugar from the bloodstream to get into the cell to be burned for fuel. If you didn't know, everything that you eat, I don't care what it is, it could be a piece of steak, a piece of broccoli, candy bar, your body converts that into sugar. That's what we burn for fuel. And so that goes into the bloodstream. So that's how it gets distributed throughout the whole body. But then it is supposed to leave the bloodstream to get into the cell to be burned for fuel. And insulin opens the door of the cell to allow that to happen. Well, when your cells are resistant to insulin, the door doesn't open. And so that sugar or glucose stays in the bloodstream. And so that's why when someone checks their blood glucose, it's high. Well, in Alzheimer's disease, the brain is now resistant to the action of insulin. And your brain runs practically off of almost all sugar. It is the main source of fuel for your brain. So now, because your brain is resistant to insulin, that door doesn't open. And so glucose can't get into the brain. And that's why the brain basically shrinks. And that's what we call Alzheimer's disease. So if you have type 2 diabetes, if you have a blood sugar problem, well, then you can develop type 3 diabetes, Alzheimer's disease.
And then there's also a type 1 diabetes, which I think is Not a lifestyle
It happens
or
to kids, so this is an autoimmune disease. So type 1 is an autoimmune disease, and then there's a type 1.5, which I don't think people know about that either.
I'm one of
It's
them. I
an
have never heard of it.
yes, it's an adult onset of an autoimmune version of diabetes. So a lot of people are misdiagnosed. They're told they're type 2, but they're type 1.5, and the diabetes drugs don't work on them. But so this is all the things that we talk about in masterclass and that we talk about in our group. But Alzheimer's, early onset Alzheimer's can be reversed. Dr. Dale Bredesen, he wrote the book called The End of Alzheimer's Disease, and this is what he talks about. And I have been a student of his, and so this is something that we also emphasize because, like you said, Alzheimer's is becoming more and more common. The cost for putting someone in an Alzheimer's unit is anywhere from 5 to 15,000 a month. So, it's going to bankrupt us if we don't get these problems under control.
Yeah, it really seems epidemic kind of proportions. Certainly financially, it's a one of the reasons I think healthcare costs have gone up, and certainly long-term care costs have gone up a ridiculous amount because of that. I think that is the main reason
Yeah, and it
for
affects the family the most. The person with the illness is not the one that affects, it's the caregivers. And then the caregiver starts to develop health problems because they neglect themselves because they're caring for this person, and so they start to develop problems as well.
A lot of this stuff too is that we're living so much longer than we used to. It's like people used to check out in their 70s and now they're going to 90s and 100, and but on multiple medications and having these issues. So I'm not sure. Longevity is not really worth it if you're not healthy. So
That's
it's
right.
yeah. So it's because we can live longer, it sort of behooves us to pay attention to how we do that.
Yeah, and the work starts now. The diagnosis of Alzheimer's doesn't begin the day they were diagnosed. It was 30 years ago. If you want to be healthy, it starts now.
When I hear that, I'm like, what was I doing 30 years ago? I knew I shouldn't have gone to that party.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I want to thank you for talking to me today. What a trove of information as can be helpful to a lot of people and folks. If you go to those Facebook pages and you can find out even more than we talked about today, and be a part of something, especially if you or someone you care about is having issues, don't necessarily rely on the medical professionals that are not helping you. And if they are helping you, great. But this is even more information on top of that. So big
Yes. And
applause
there's
to
a,
you.
well, thank you. And there's always hope, and there's always got to be a reason. So don't give up.
Thank you. I appreciate hearing that. Hope and a reason.
Thank you, Bob.
You have a fantastic day. And carry on the good work.
All right. Take care.
Much appreciation for you folks listening to The Exploding Human. The website is theexplodinghuman.com. You can also listen on YouTube. That is The Exploding Human with Bob Nickman. Once again, I want to thank Jade Guerra for being on the show. If you want to find out more, go to the Facebook groups Unbroken for Thyroid and The End of Type 2 Diabetes Now for Diabetes. Have a fantastic day. Thank you.